Wednesday, February 7th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, many are talking about text messages and allegations that continue to show us that the government's corrupt. Really no surprise there. Many are talking about a new spending deal to stop another government shutdown that just so happens to include a major increase in military spending, despite already spending more than the next eight countries combined, all while Americans are dying, being killed, or manipulated by the very system that feigns their protection, all while the weakest among us are preyed upon, and largely without consequence, while those in power look the other way. But sure, soap opera politics are more entertaining and surely easier to look at. But for those of you tired of standing by, those of you who actually want to see a change, let's get into what's really going on so you can spread the word. First story of the day coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, FDA just falsely declared kratom to be an opioid, ensuring Big Pharma a lifetime of profit. In one of the most ignorant and corrupt decisions to ever come from the Food and Drug Administration, the government agency has declared the kratom plant to be an opioid, illustrating their servitude to the pharmaceutical industry. The move will only serve to increase the already horrendous epidemic of opioid overdoses and make criminals out of entirely innocent people. The article makes a very interesting note. It's important to understand that, first of all, that kratom is not an opioid. And it's important to understand that opiates are derived from poppies, and opioids are man-made opiates. There's a very interesting difference there. So when we're talking about opioids, those are things that are man-made, derived from other substances. So kratom is actually in the coffee family, and it does not have any properties of opioid-induced respiratory depression, which is also very important. GlaxoSmithKline owns a patent on a kratom alkaloid designed for the very purpose of treating pain, thereby alleviating dependency on opioids. Studies, which the FDA say don't exist actually, have been conducted for the specific task of treating opioid dependency. There's a patent in place that was entered for University of Massachusetts Medical School. The application specifically recognizes kratom as a treatment for opioid withdrawal and goes on to claim that kratom could be used to help withdrawals from other drugs as well. These patents are essentially useless, however, with the natural version of the plant being legal. Only through prohibition will pharmaceutical companies be able to peddle their synthetic versions, which will undoubtedly be far more dangerous and more expensive than the natural version. They're even going on to claim that there are 44 deaths associated with kratom. The FDA even admitted in their own report, noting, quote, overall, many of the cases received could not be fully assessed because of limited information provided. I mean, really, this breaks down to the idea that it usually ends up where somebody was taking some other kind of drug and kratom was in their system, and that gets attributed to this to the death as kratom. But in reality, it was due to many other things or a heart condition, and they also were taking cocaine, and it really just gets lumped in together. And it also, we have to understand that even, let's just say hypothetically, there are actually 44 deaths. And this is from a long span of time, mind you. Just speaking of opiates derived from opium, painkillers that are being used all across the country, the crazy epidemic that everyone's talking about kills tens of thousands of people a year being used as prescribed. Think about that. And yet they're quibbling over 44 deaths that are actually not even true. In my opinion, understanding this plant, I don't believe for a second that those are actually what caused this. But I can't say that for certain. But the point is that within their own studies, they even say that they can't tell for sure that this was what happened. Yet they're continuing to push this forward. It's important to understand that the FDA's statement is just that, a statement. It's a recommendation. There's weight to it. But no bans or raids or anything like that will take place until the DEA actually schedules kratom, which they have tried to do in the past with a huge backlash, showing yet again that if the people put aside their false two-party dichotomy and recognize their common enemy, we can accomplish anything. This is something that I'm very passionate about, and ultimately, this is, again, something that they've been trying to do for quite some time, and it's most importantly because it stands to threaten their major stranglehold, not only over opiates, but over many other aspects of the pharmaceutical industry. Any kind of these natural alternatives are always attacked in this regard. But we have to understand even things like alcohol or tobacco. It's really ridiculous to start pointing out such a small number of deaths, even if they're true, which I'm pretty certain they are not. But even if they are, and then comparatively look at something like alcohol or tobacco, which just regular use, as it's supposed to be used, kills millions of people. And yet we're focusing on this small number. I mean, this really needs to stand out to us. But I think this was a move simply to scare people away. because nothing's going to happen yet until the DEA steps in. But we've seen a lot of things happen back and forth. So we'll keep you apprised of the situation. But ultimately, this is really something that stands out as manipulation, trying to scare people away. The next story also coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, disturbing precedent, mother sterilized as court hands down order recommending it. This is a very scary story in its essence. I mean, really, where this started was with prisoners, where they were essentially offered to have their sentences lessened if they chose to sterilize themselves. I mean, this is no joke. This is documented information. If they chose to sterilize themselves, their sentences would be lessened. But this is the first time we've seen it in this manner. This is a woman that was being sentenced for writing bad checks. And she's a mother of seven. So the court essentially told her that if she chose on her own volition to sterilize herself, they would consider being lenient on her. I mean, this is very, very crazy. And this sets a very horrifying precedent. I mean, the idea that they ever even first of all, it's unconstitutional. I mean, that has to be very apparent. But the way that this is kind of slipping by is they're claiming it was her choice to do this because but the idea is they're kind of leaning on her and letting her know that she's probably going to get a more stern sentence if she didn't do what they were, you know, suggesting she should do. But ultimately, she did go and sterilize herself. I mean, this really just rings true with something we talked about over the last couple of days. We saw the issue with the president in Kenya basically openly accusing pharma company of using a vaccine that they said they verified that sterilized over 500,000 women. And then we saw the idea just yesterday of the idea that teenagers in large amounts have BPAs in their intestinal tracts, showing, and that's something that disrupts hormones. So really, this just kind of begins to we're continuing to see this materializing effort of eugenics, where they're essentially stopping certain demographics from trying to populate. I mean, it's really, I mean, I'm sure that somebody could make a logical argument for why something like this in pertains to the court case would be a positive thing, but I don't see it. I think this is absolutely horrifying. This is even on the table. That a judge could even outright say that kind of thing and that would be accepted is very horrifying to me. So this just again comes back to the idea of eugenics and depopulation. Again, something that they have many people, including Bill Gates, have openly talked about and openly advocated for as if it's some future, you know, off down the line kind of thing. But yet it seems like it's happening right in front of us. Moving on to the next story that we just covered this morning, entitled Little Barbies, Sex Trafficking of Young Girls is America's Dirty Little Secret. Now, this is an absolutely horrifying article, and it's something that I recommend you not just jump right into. It's something that takes a minute, and it's hard to read. It really is hard to read, but I highly recommend, as all of this content, that you take a moment and read this. The article begins, "Children are being targeted and sold for sex in America every day." John Ryan, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They're called Little Barbies. Children, young girls, some as young as 9 years old, are being bought and sold for sex in America. The average age for a young woman being sold for sex is now 13 years old. This is America's dirty little secret. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, nearly 800,000 children go missing every year. That's roughly 2,185 children a day. I mean, that is staggering. An investigative journalist, Amy Fine Collins, notes, quote, "It's become more lucrative and much safer to sell malleable teens than drugs or guns. A pound of heroin or an AK-47 can be retailed once, but a young girl can be sold 10 to 15 times a day, and a pimp confiscates 100% of her earnings. According to USA Today, adults purchase children for sex at least 2.5 million times a year in the United States. The real question we need to ask ourselves, if over 2,000 kids a day go missing, and according to this research, every 2 minutes, a child is exploited in the sex industry, why is this not a major topic of discussion? That's something we all need to ask ourselves. This is just a brief summary of some of the worst statistics in this article, but it goes on in detail, in gruesome detail, about a lot of really terrible things that take place all within the United States. something we don't like to think about, things that happen in every city in this entire country. There was recent articles in my hometown where young girls were being taken from some upper middle class mall right out of the parking lot and being sold into sex trafficking. I mean, this stuff is happening right underneath our noses, and it's something that it seems nobody is paying attention to and nobody's talking about other than people within the independent media, and being shut down as conspiracy theorists when we talk about this kind of thing even closely reaching the midst of some kind of elite culture or politicians, even though we talked about yesterday someone like Dennis Hassert, who only got 15 months, being called a serial child molester in the courtroom and got 15 months, let out early at 13 months, while we have people going to prison for 20 years for cannabis. I mean, there has to be a stark contrast there. Has to be apparent to us. And especially seeing this, over 2,000 kids a day go missing in this country, and this is not a leading discussion for politicians. I mean, that blows my mind. This is something that I highly recommend you look into. The Last American Vagabond has a lot of information on this topic, something we've passionately written about, trying to call attention to. There's also some people like The Honeybee on Twitter that I recommend you go check out, because her entire work is dedicated to this subject and calling attention to it and how it reaches the highest levels of power, something very alarming that we need to continue to talk about. The next story coming out of antiwar.com, Pentagon expects Afghan war to cost $45 billion in 2018. This is something that just continues to frustrate. I mean, we talked in the beginning of the show about spending, military spending, and the new spending bill, even though we spend more than the next 8 countries combined. And now we're talking about spending $45 billion in the next year at a war that's already taken 16 years. I mean, that's absurd at this point. The Free Thought Project makes an excellent point. And that amount of money, $45 billion, is more than enough right now to end hunger in the U.S., 2 times over. And as we just talked about yesterday, it would end world hunger per the UN with $15 billion left over. I mean, this is something, it's absurd to see this continue to happen. It goes into the subject of the military-industrial complex and the fact that we continue to boost spending in the military so they continue to make reasons that we need it and need more. And this continues and continues. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I mean, we have to discuss the topic of opium when talking about Afghanistan, when that's really the main purpose in my mind, other than geopolitical aspects and including China and other main military powers in the world. Opium is a huge aspect there. That it's sent, this is what's fueling the opiate epidemic in this country. And we talked about how since the United States was there, it's risen 90%, the production of opium. And the United States uses 80% of the world's opiates. So there's a connection there, clearly. So the positioning there of our government and spending this much more money to stay there, even though it's clearly not worked over 16 years. This is something that we have to speak out. You have to contact people you think can make a difference and continue to call this out and say that we are not okay with this. This does not represent the American people. Moving on to the next story coming out of RT.com, Switzerland and United States are the world's most corrupt nations. A new study from advocacy group Tax Justice Network reveals that Switzerland is the world's most corrupt country with a high secrecy score of 76. It's followed by the U.S. and the Cayman Islands. The index ranks countries for the assistance their legal systems provide to money launderers and to all people who seek to protect corruptly obtained wealth. The higher the secrecy score, the more corrupt the government is. In order to create the index, a secrecy score is combined with a figure representing the size of the offshore financial services industry in each country. According to the report, the United States secrecy score, 60 right now, is rising, which results in attracting corrupt wealth. In 2013, the U.S. was in 6th place. In 2015, it took 3rd place. Now it's in 2nd. Consider all this talk about in regard to banning crypto due to its money laundering aspect. Yet the U.S. is currently the number 2 country in the world in regard to this specific aspect, and that's referring to its fiat system currently in place. So yet again, an example of the premise, accuse the other side of that which you are guilty. And crypto is nothing if not a threat to their control on ongoing money laundering ventures. The next story coming out of the CorbettReport.com, Vanessa Bealey exposes the white helmets. For the past 2 years, Vanessa Bealey has been doing on-the-ground reporting in Syria, exposing the lies of the NATO powers and their terrorist proxies. Her work on the white helmets in particular has drawn the ire of the warmongers and their media mouthpieces. Now, this is one I highly recommend you check out. There is so much information in this interview, and something, I mean, James Corbett always does an excellent job. Vanessa Bealey is actually someone that I'm going to be interviewing later this week, but it's something that I highly recommend you go check out. Her work on the white helmets is absolutely profound, and it really exposes the reality behind it, the propaganda around the organization, where they came from, and how the mainstream media continues to perpetuate this idea that they are some benevolent force, when in reality, everyone on the ground is openly talking about how they are nothing but a terrorist organization. I mean, openly related to terrorist organizations and help and work in only locations where that's taking place. And it's just something that continues to frustrate people like us. They can clearly see that this is happening. Yet these things like these false chemical attacks, where the government of the United States clearly runs with this information without any due diligence, are directly coming from people like the white helmets, knowing that they have a specific motivation to continue to bring the United States back into Syria. I mean, it's just, it's very frustrating, but this interview is fantastic and really just breaks the mold when it comes to understanding the manipulation taking place in regard to this specific topic. So I highly recommend you check it out. The final story of the day coming out of ZeroHedge.com, Israel launches attack on Syrian military facility after unverified gas attack claims. So as we were just saying about Vanessa Bealey and the unverified attacks, or the unverified gas attack claims coming from the white helmets, Israel goes ahead and launches an attack based just on that information. And truly, I don't think it has anything to do with that. There's so much more evolving around the idea of Israel involving Syria, the Golan Heights and resources and just geopolitical stance in general. But there's so much going on here. The biggest point to me is that no one is talking about this. If Syria attacked Israel, even under the same premise, it would be everywhere. And that really shows you something. Yet both are equally illegal. I mean, it just blows my mind. Israel can continue to launch open, unprovoked attacks on Syria, and it's not discussed anywhere outside of independent media. And it's based, as they claim, on an unverified gas attack that has no due diligence behind it, coming from a recognized terrorist organization. That is absolutely amazing to me. And it's something that nobody likes to talk about because Israel is an ally of the United States, just like with Saudi Arabia. They do all the things they accuse everybody else of, that the United States accuses everybody else of in horror, yet nobody talks about it because they're a United States ally. This whole back and forth, it's wildly absurd. It's wildly hypocritical, yet we see it on and on and on. It's happening over and over in so many different ways. They continue to recycle the same manipulative stories, and so many continue to fall for it. But I think more and more are waking up, and I hope we're starting to see it. There's just so much taking place every day, yet far too many are still deeply engaged in this political theater that is taking place. Memo or no memo, it's pretty damn clear that there is rampant corruption all throughout the government, not just in the FBI or in regard to the FISA memo. So I plead with any of you out there watching right now who are still taking sides in this manipulative and fraudulent political game, see past the propaganda and the common enemy we all share, who is stealing the very country they claim to be fighting for. See the power of the masses when we can stand together. And it is now day 5, and no one has been held accountable. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sites in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.